Cambridge English, Advanced 1. Published by Cambridge University Press and Cambridge English Language Assessment, 2014. This recording is copyright. CD 1. This is the Cambridge English Advanced, Test 1. I'm going to give you the instructions for this test. I'll introduce each part of the test and give you time to look at the questions. At the start of each piece, you'll hear this sound. You'll hear each piece twice. Remember, while you're listening, write your answers on the question paper. You'll have 5 minutes at the end of the test to copy your answers onto the separate answer sheet. There'll now be a pause. Please ask any questions now because you must not speak during the test. Now open your question paper and look at part one. You'll hear three different extracts. For questions 1 to 6, choose the answer, A, B or C, which fits best according to what you hear. There are 2 questions for each extract. Extract 1. You hear 2 friends talking about a new office building. Now look at questions 1 and 2.
So, what's it like working in that ultra-modern building?
Well, really weird at first, but I'm getting used to it. One thing is not having your own desk, but I've worked like that before. The latest thing is that you get moved around different parts of the building.
How are people coping?
Varying degrees of success, as you can imagine. The technology available is amazing. Everybody has a mobile laptop, a mobile phone, so you can work anywhere. With others, by yourself, in a funky design space, in a space like a garden. That's a bit tough. People like to define and personalise their working area. They're really taken out of their comfort zone. Work isn't a place anymore. It's what you do that counts. Teams aren't fixed either. You can be in a different one each week. But there's plenty of direction and you know what needs to be done.
How do you feel about all the moving around?
It's supposed to be healthier for you. I'm not sure. It hardly matches up to a session in the gym. But sometimes you can bump into somebody unexpectedly, and it's good to bounce ideas off each other. It's thought that'll make people focus better on their output. But that remains to be seen.
So, what's it like working in that ultra-modern building?
Well, really weird at first, but I'm getting used to it. One thing is not having your own desk, but I've worked like that before. The latest thing is that you get moved around different parts of the building.
How are people coping?
Varying degrees of success, as you can imagine. The technology available is amazing. Everybody has a mobile laptop, a mobile phone, so you can work anywhere. With others, by yourself, in a funky design space, in a space like a garden. That's a bit tough. People like to define and personalise their working area. They're really taken out of their comfort zone. Work isn't a place anymore. It's what you do that counts. Teams aren't fixed either. You can be in a different one each week. But there's plenty of direction and you know what needs to be done.
How do you feel about all the moving around?
It's supposed to be healthier for you. I'm not sure. It hardly matches up to a session in the gym. But sometimes you can bump into somebody unexpectedly, and it's good to bounce ideas off each other. It's thought that'll make people focus better on their output. But that remains to be seen.
Extract 2. You hear 2 friends discussing business travel. Now look at questions 3 and 4.
so, you're back from the Far East. Do you reckon the company will be cutting back on trips like that?
Well, you'd hope they'd make more use of digital communication. Things like video. But honestly, there's often no real alternative to face-to-face meetings.
Mm.
In certain circumstances, anyway. I suppose it all comes down to being sure to book with the companies whose planes use biofuel. Responsible travel, you could call it.
Mm.
Because there's no way I can foresee business travel doing anything other than growing in the future. Estimates put it between 10 and 15%. Or so I read recently in an analyst report.
Mm, that's certainly what they're saying. So let's hope airlines and rail companies worldwide will be responsible when it comes to planning. There'll have to be plenty of that to deal with the expected growth. All too often, they just concentrate on immediate results, like the instant profit they seem to be obsessed with. Though obviously, they do have to make things pay. And it's always a good thing for them if they can promote their plans by saying how much work will be provided. Above all, though, what's needed is a strategy to cope with what future trends are likely to throw up.
You're right there.
So, you're back from the Far East. Do you reckon the company will be cutting back on trips like that?
Well, you'd hope they'd make more use of digital communication. Things like video. But honestly, there's often no real alternative to face-to-face meetings.
Mm.
In certain circumstances, anyway. I suppose it all comes down to being sure to book with the companies whose planes use biofuel. Responsible travel, you could call it.
Mm.
Because there's no way I can foresee business travel doing anything other than growing in the future. Estimates put it between 10 and 15%. Or so I read recently in an analyst report.
Mm, that's certainly what they're saying. So let's hope airlines and rail companies worldwide will be responsible when it comes to planning. There'll have to be plenty of that to deal with the expected growth. All too often, they just concentrate on immediate results, like the instant profit they seem to be obsessed with. Though obviously, they do have to make things pay. And it's always a good thing for them if they can promote their plans by saying how much work will be provided. Above all, though, what's needed is a strategy to cope with what future trends are likely to throw up.
You're right there.
Extract 3. You hear two friends talking about some research. Now look at questions 5 and 6.
I saw a fascinating programme last night about research into human self-interest.
What's to research? Selfishness is just not giving others a second thought, surely.
No, there were experiments. They showed that when you give people a financial windfall, they're happier if you insist they spend it on themselves.
Who wouldn't be?
You're missing the point.
So, what did the research consist of exactly?
Well, they gave two groups of people a sum of cash. One group could choose between keeping it or giving it to charity. The other group had to spend it on themselves. And the second group, virtually forced to be self-interested, turned out to be the happiest. Those that voluntarily kept cash were less happy, presumably because of the undertow of guilt of having made that choice.
I'm glad I didn't have to. Not easy.
One thing I took from the programme was how it's a good idea to pre-commit to any activities that are self-interested. So, make plans to see friends that are hard to break. Buy cinema tickets for next weekend now. You see, apparently the less freedom you have to back out, the more fun you'll have when the time comes. Because doing something for others instead won't feel like an option.
That's an interesting angle.
I saw a fascinating programme last night about research into human self-interest.
What's to research? Selfishness is just not giving others a second thought, surely.
No, there were experiments. They showed that when you give people a financial windfall, they're happier if you insist they spend it on themselves.
Who wouldn't be?
You're missing the point.
So, what did the research consist of exactly?
Well, they gave two groups of people a sum of cash. One group could choose between keeping it or giving it to charity. The other group had to spend it on themselves. And the second group, virtually forced to be self-interested, turned out to be the happiest. Those that voluntarily kept cash were less happy, presumably because of the undertow of guilt of having made that choice.
I'm glad I didn't have to. Not easy.
One thing I took from the programme was how it's a good idea to pre-commit to any activities that are self-interested. So, make plans to see friends that are hard to break. Buy cinema tickets for next weekend now. You see, apparently the less freedom you have to back out, the more fun you'll have when the time comes. Because doing something for others instead won't feel like an option.
That's an interesting angle.
That's the end of part one.